This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Australia's number one award-winning show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self.
Hide and seek.
Visit joy.org.au/hide and seek. Good evening and welcome to Hide and Seek, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Dean Beck with you tonight, flying solo, giving the boys the rest of the night off. And tonight we're going to have a look at something that took place here in Melbourne town some 12 months ago. It was the 20th International AIDS Conference, AIDS 2014, and it was an opportunity for Australia and its diverse nature within the Asia-Pacific region to have a closer look at the HIV epidemic in and around this region. Of course, it was also an opportunity for us to profile this city. And wow, did we do that. AIDS 2014 was an amazing opportunity and Joy shone bright in that opportunity. I'd like you to share with me your recollections of AIDS 2014. Hopefully you got down to the conference, down to the Global Village, and maybe you can share some of your highlights from the AIDS 2014 conference with us tonight, because that's what I'll be doing with you. This is how you do it.
Have your say. SMS 0427 JOY 949.
Email on air at joy.org.au.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
So we'll be exploring some of the highlights that Joy managed to capture during the AIDS 2014 conference tonight. Share with us your reminiscing of that event. Well, last year, the 20th International AIDS Conference, AIDS 2014, came to Melbourne. The theme was stepping up the pace, and Joy 94.9 was well and truly in the thick of it. And this little grab invites the world to Melbourne.
Melbourne will be a moment to shape the future of the AIDS response.
What's unique about this conference is it's far more than a scientific meeting. It has three main programs: science, community, and leadership.
What you're going to see at AIDS 2014 is not just the activation of science and political leaders working together, but you're going to see community coming together, I think, in a new way.
You know that there is a strong effort now worldwide in order to accelerate research towards an HIV cure.
And our mandate is to make sure that we bring the most inclusive, the most broadly focused global conference on HIV to the Asia Pacific that would start a global conversation around the issues of indigenous people, around the issues of young people around this region, around issues of women, around issues of care affected populations who still continue to be at the very thrust of this epidemic.
My message is especially for the leaders. You are living with the virus and you come out and say, I have the virus, but I'm living positively with the virus. And I'm also here to make sure I protect myself and I protect others. As a leader, it can influence a lot and it can make an impact.
The Global Village will have a very visual exhibition area of Aboriginal culture in Australia, plus will allow our international brothers and sisters to exhibit their culture. And so I encourage everyone to come to the Global Village. You get to see HIV/AIDS on a global level.
Media everywhere should be supporting people living with HIV, supporting the critical awareness and supporting the love and the kindness I think that we all need if we're going to reach that AIDS-free generation and to truly address the stigma and discrimination.
We will all come to Melbourne with the hope that we will have one day zero new infection, zero discrimination and zero death due to HIV/AIDS.
It's hard to fathom the importance of AIDS 2014, 30 years after the virus was discovered by the current president of the International AIDS Society, Francois Perret-Sanusi. But as 15,000 delegates descend upon this city, no one expected this to happen.
The International AIDS Society today expresses its profound sadness at receiving news that colleagues and friends en route to attend the 20th International AIDS Conference, taking place here in Melbourne, Australia, were on board the Malaysian Airlines MH17 flight that has crashed over Ukraine today.
I can confirm this afternoon that 9 Victorians were aboard Malaysian Airlines flight MH17. I can also advise that a number of passengers on MH17 were travelling to Melbourne and Victoria for AIDS 2014, the International AIDS Conference.
Madam Speaker, this is a grim day for our country and it's a grim day for our world. 295 people have been killed. At least 27 Australians have been killed.
There were apparently nearly 100 researchers and advocates traveling to an international conference in Australia dedicated to combating AIDS, HIV. These were men and women who had dedicated their own lives to saving the lives of others, and they were taken from us in a senseless act of violence.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a moment of deep sadness for the world. We all share in the sense of grief and loss with the friends and family of all 298 people on board of the MH17 flight that crashed over Ukraine. The International AIDS Society has today confirmed the devastating news that at least 6 delegates traveling to the AIDS 2014 conference in Melbourne were on board, including our former president, Hugh Lange, and his partner, Jacqueline Tongeren. The extent of our loss is hard to comprehend and express. Our colleagues were traveling because of their dedication to bringing an aid to AIDS. We will honor their commitment and keep them in our hearts as we begin our program on Sunday.
Everybody's free.
Evan's here handing out red ribbons to people. How are people responding to the conference, Evan?
Sensationally. There's a fantastic atmosphere. Everybody's engaged and wanting to be educated. So the message is really getting out.
Trophy from China, you're here welcoming people. What inspired you to become part of AIDS 2014?
I want to help people with AIDS. I want to know more about them.
Heather, where are you from?
Scotland.
What will you take away from the conference?
Greater understanding of the AIDS virus. There's lots of different cultures. It's really nice to see lots of people from all over the world.
Got volunteer Jeff now.
I went to the Berlin AIDS conference. I was really involved as a volunteer then, and I did about 15 years in HIV. I wanted to come back into this at the moment. As a positive person to be part of a conference, so you can talk to other people about living with HIV.
Joy 94.9, live, loud and proud from the Global Village. AIDS 2014, the 20th International AIDS Conference.
I'm Khorata. I'm from Botswana. I'm graduating as a doctor end of this year. I'm going to go back to Botswana after graduating. In Botswana, almost everyone is directly and indirectly affected by HIV/AIDS. So I've come here to learn and I've learned heaps.
We've got Terry providing tourist information to all the delegates that have come here from overseas. What's the most common question you're being asked, Terry?
Where are the toilets?
Why did you volunteer to be a part of the conference?
For the obvious reason that it's a really worthwhile enterprise, and I also want to support my student volunteers here as well, so they get a sense of what it's like to work in a major city event.
We've got Volunteer Sydney. Sydney, where are you from?
I'm from Houston, Texas.
You've come a long way to be a part of this conference.
I lost my father to AIDS in 1996 when I was 15 years old, and I'm still looking to stay involved to improve treatment and prevention. It's been wonderful. It's been nice working with people from all over the world who are so dedicated to doing work in their own community and globally.
Nosh, where are you from?
I'm from Melbourne.
Local person?
Yeah. I'm a medical student. I'm studying here, and so I've always been interested in public health, and I'm at the Alfred at the moment, and I heard about this conference from Sharon Lewin doing a presentation there, and I thought, what a great opportunity to be involved in something really global.
Volunteer Matt.
To volunteer has been such an amazing experience this last couple of days.
In fact, you are flying at the moment. I have to pull you down for this interview. Why is that?
I was actually just put on the front door where Bill Clinton actually walked past me. I got a photo with Bill Clinton. He also said hello to me. So I was like, oh my God. This whole week, there's so much entertainment that has just blown me away. Dancers, the drag queens. I have learned stuff that I would never have learned in my lifetime. And it's such a great thing to be a part of.
So from all the volunteers at Joy 94.9, a big thank you to the volunteers of AIDS 2014 for making this event such an outstanding success. This is Matt McDonald out and about at AIDS 2014 at the Melbourne Convention and Exhibition Centre for Joy 94.9.
And a big thank you to Mac McDonald for that. Of course, we're taking a look at AIDS 2014, which was taking place here in Melbourne just 12 months ago. There were delegates from over 200 countries, including some 750 journalists, and nearly 15,000 participants attended the conference, which serves as the premier gathering for those working in the field of HIV and AIDS.
Joy 94.9.
Dean Beck with you on Hide and Seek tonight, exploring AIDS 2014. And last year, both Simon and Michael spoke with one of the original guys from ACT UP in the US, and this is what went down.
With Simon and Michael and Fiona in the back seat driving you home, live from AIDS 2014 here in Melbourne. Simon, we have a very special, special guest in the joint.
We have had some amazing guests today.
We do.
And another one, Andrew from ACT UP. How are you?
I'm queer, thank you.
Excellent. Yes. That's what we like to hear.
Aren't we all? Aren't we all? Yeah. Now, Andrew Velez is a really very important man.
Yes.
Very important man. He has been helping the progress for the treatment of HIV since 1987.
Yes, tell us a little bit about what things were like in 1987.
Well, I'm a New Yorker, mm-hmm. and for people who weren't there at that time, it's hard to imagine what it was like. It was like where I live in the West Village, it was filled with zombies walking around. KS all over their faces, noses, men whose age you couldn't tell, but they were often young men, but they looked like way, way older, and there were stories all the time about so-and-so collapsed on the street and died. There were signs in windows all over apartment buildings, tag sale, apartment sale, because people's possessions were being sold, right, or they were selling them themselves. And when I look back on it now, it's like 9/11. I think, how did we ever get through that? But we did. And I never expected I was going to get involved with this disease. I didn't think it had anything to do with me because I didn't think I was doing anything that put me at risk, although we really didn't know very much about it. And I happened to have been at the time going through a really difficult time personally. I was getting divorced, and it was like World War III. And I did feel, though, because I was hearing about this disease and somebody would point out someone, he says, he's got it. And but I felt that there was something so profoundly unjust that people were sick and dying and no medications available, no hope, and on top of that, being shamed and feeling ashamed of because it was like shouting, I had sex and got this. And I happened to see a flyer on a lamppost that said there was going to be a demonstration in Wall Street against the high price of AZT, which was a bad drug, but it was the only thing available at the time. And I didn't know anyone connected with it, and I just went down. And that began my affiliation with ACT UP in, I think it was March 1987, and I never looked back. I've been a part of ACT UP ever since.
Wow. Tell us more about what ACT UP do.
Well, ACT UP is the AIDS Coalition to Unleash Power, and it was a group of mostly gay men, but not all, and some women, mostly lesbian, but not all, because as time went on, people came for all sorts of reasons. Mm. A family member had died, or some connection somehow, and sometimes just out of being decent human beings. And so at the very beginning, the goal was to get this the FDA to move faster on approving new drugs, because we had no frame of reference for what was to unfold and what was unfolding. And we thought 5 years and it'll all be over. And of course, as we got more and more deeply into it, we began to see how much more than just the immediate things were going to have to be dealt with. And in fact, I've always felt that what happened was the epidemic threw a spotlight on everything that was broken in our society. Mm. The inequality of gender, of race, housing, every aspect of it. At the beginning, in the early years, the CDC didn't even pay attention to anything about women and children. And one of our posters at demonstrations was, women don't get AIDS, they just die of it. And so we began to explore what are the differences between how a woman's body reacts and forcing that to be studied and considered. Mm-hmm. And it was an incredibly exciting time in ACT UP. People would come in we meet every Monday night. We still do meet on Monday nights. If you're in New York, come to 13th Street, the LGBT Community Center, and we'll be glad to see you. And so people would come in and say, this happened, I need help with this. I remember one time a social worker came in and said that a mother had applied for a food supplement that her 11-year-old child needed, who weighed 40 pounds. Wow. And so I said, which station do you work out of? And can you get me a photograph of the manager there? So she did. And we made posters up with that manager's face on it and picketed in front of the station, and the kid got his medication.
Hide and seek. Joy 94.9.
Dean Beck with you on Hide and Seek tonight. We're exploring some of the best bits of AIDS 2014, the conference held in Melbourne just 12 months ago. Now, we heard from Andrew Valdez from ACT UP before. Now, along with the likes of Bob Geldof and President Clinton, one of the superstars that arrived in town, not a big name to us here in Australia, but certainly in Africa, she is huge, Yvonne Shaka Shaka. And she spoke to Jono and SJ at the Global Village.
Live from the Global Village down here at AIDS 2014, it is SJ and Jono. On your Tuesday drive show, SJ, we have got not just a special guest, but a superstar in our midst.
I know, I'm so excited. Now, this is especially good for me, being from Zimbabwe. As soon as I got told that we had Yvonne Shaka Shaka on our show, I was like, oh my God! Yvonne, welcome. Welcome to the Joy Booth.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, Yvonne, for people who don't know, who are listening, is a South African superstar. are. You were born in Soweto and you're performing at AIDS 2014. Tell us briefly, how did you make your way to the conference? Why are you here?
Well, you know, being a South African and being a citizen of Africa, you know, I love my continent, and I know that there is a huge problem about AIDS, TB and malaria and all other diseases. So, you know, when I was asked to come here, I thought, why not? Because, you know, I've been using my voice to talk about all the atrocities, all the good, all the things that we are seeing, good and bad. And obviously we need it. I thought, you know, if I have a platform to talk about AIDS and TB and malaria, why can't I do it? Because, you know, I don't think it's time for us to point fingers or judging each other. We need to be working together and making sure that people live, because really it's time to stop blah, blah, blah and work, because people are dying.
So true. And it's funny because you're doing it through your music as well. So you've got this amazing platform to stand on to be able to speak to so many different people because you're so internationally recognized. How have you found the reaction has been in Australia to your music?
It has been amazing, I must say. I went to a school for Mandela Day. Young people, they were just so amazing. They described Mandela in three forms. I think they said love, forgiveness, and integrity or something like that. And they had all pictures of Mandela, and they gave me this book. So I was very, very pleased that these young Australians know exactly who Mandela is. And, you know, yesterday just watching TV and...
Q&A,
exactly. I had tears in my eyes. But at the back of my mind, I was thinking, why is AIDS going up? Is it because we're not doing a lot? Are we not talking to our children? What needs to be done? Are the politicians not talking to us? Are we teachers not talking to children at school? What needs to be done? I think platforms like this are great, but really we need to, you know, step up the game and make sure that, you know, by 2030, AIDS should be something. Should be a thing of the past, exactly.
Absolutely.
How do you use your previous sort of life experience in helping other people? Because obviously you've seen sort of both sides of life, growing up from a very sort of poor background, where your father died at a young age, to now sort of being a superstar and someone that people listen to. It must be sort of quite a change from growing up.
Well, I must say, it really is. I mean, I was very young when my father died. I was 11 years old, but by the time I turned 19, you know, I was known everywhere. You know, I used my voice, I performed, and I thought, you know, what best way to change people's lives or to do good there, rather than just singing and being famous for nothing. So I used my voice to be able to talk to politicians, to be going down to the grassroots and talking to these people, you know, who are sick, and saying to them, it's not the end of the day. You know, I think 10 or 20 years ago, when people had AIDS, you could have said, that's a life sentence. But now there's antiretrovirals, there's different treatments, there's education, all the resources, all the skills, all the know-hows are there. So people just need to know what to do at the right time.
Are you finding it incredibly different being in Australia? Because I know, coming from Zimbabwe and yourself coming from South Africa, there's still so much stigma attached to HIV and AIDS. And especially in Zimbabwe, it's not really reported. If someone dies from an HIV-related illness, it's never spoken about that it's an HIV-related illness. There is still that stigma. Are you finding there is a difference since being in Australia, that people are more outspoken here about it? Or are you thinking it's the same problems that we face in Africa?
You know, when I was watching TV yesterday, the two guys who stood up and said, you know, I'm HIV positive and things like that, I thought that's so encouraging.
But yeah.
Obviously, you know, being an African, very few people still talk about it because of stigma. You know, people are scared to be ostracized, or communities not even wanting to talk to them. But I'm actually very happy that platforms like this, like the AIDS conference, people talk about it. People are very open now, because really, as I said, 20, 15 years ago, this would have been a life sentence. But now we can see people healthy, people just looking like you and me, unless they tell you they are HIV positive. I think what we have to do really is to make sure that those who are negative now stay negative, because there's lots of education, and those who are positive, they've got access to information, access to medication, and just integrating them to being part of us, because at the end of the day, they are part of us, you know.
Looking at your career, obviously you've had some marvellous experiences. You've met people like Nelson Mandela, the Queen and Oprah Winfrey. You get to travel to conferences like this. Has there been some sort of standout moments for you that make you feel very proud as both an artist and an activist?
Well, you know, I just see myself as an ordinary person, I must say. Just lucky that I've been able to meet those different people. But for me, it's using my voice and those connections to help others. If I can do that, really, that for me becomes very, very important. And I'm never starstruck. You know, I look at anybody and I think, well, all the same. You know, what's the difference? So I'm just like that.
I love the fact that we've got your bio in front of us. You were the first black child to appear on South African television. What was, I mean, this is obviously going back a bit.
In 1981.
What was the reaction to that?
Well, I must say it wasn't that much of a big deal because we didn't even have TV at home. Very few households had television. This guy came out of nowhere and came to Soweto looking for children with talent who could read, who could sing, who could play an instrument and things like that. And I happened to be part of them. I think when he packaged everything, I was the first one to be there. And it was nice, but I earned lots of money.
Which is great. Yvonne, thank you so much for talking to us. We wish you well in everything that you're doing in Australia during the conference. And when can we see you next performing?
I'm sure I will be coming very soon to perform in Australia.
Yay!
And I'm looking forward to it.
We welcome you.
You're performing at the closing ceremony
of
AIDS 2014.
Come to the closing ceremony.
Come to the closing ceremony. If you haven't seen Yvonne Shaka Shaka, go and watch her.
We welcome you in Melbourne. And thank you very much for joining us on Joy 94.9 live from the Global Village. This is SJ and Jono.
Hide and seek.
Fire it all.
You are listening to Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Dean back with you on the show that explores sex, sexuality and self. Tonight we're looking at AIDS 2014, and for me, the one single interview that is the most powerful out of all that Joy managed together is an interview that Kyle Evans did with a young Indian boy called Babu.
From the 20th International AIDS Conference, AIDS 2014, I'm Kyle Evans, and you're about to hear a story from Babu. Now, he shared this story at the plenary, and he's been kind enough to share it with us here at Joy.
So, my name is Babu, and I'm 14 years old. And actually, I'm from a small village in Bangalore. It's nearby Bangalore. And I'm studying now in the institution of Father Matthews, means in Snakerom. I'm doing the 10th standard, means there's one more year for me, and I will get ready. And I'm preparing for 10th standard.
If you're okay with talking about it, can you tell me about when you found out that your parents were HIV positive? What did you know about HIV at the time?
The truth is, I did not know that my family members had HIV and how it is affected to me. But I knew that later, maybe when I was 7 years, when I was had some thinking capacity, I knew that my mother had and also my father. I was not affected by HIV when I was born, but only by the mother's breastfeeding I was affected.
And when he was 7 years old, his mother came down with tuberculosis.
And so we were working in so many hospitals we went, and she also started feeling more sick and sick, and she also was affected by TB. So it's only one case, because that was a small village and nobody knows. Also, we are so far away from all the people. Means houses are so many other sides. And that was the only chance she had. I was the first one who saw her, because she was sleeping in the room. And I went there, and I was the only one who was thinking of my mother, and I woke her. Mommy, wake up, mommy, wake up. I pushed her, I rolled her. No. She did not.
He ended up losing both his parents to AIDS-related illnesses. And for the longest time, Babu's situation was unstable, and people often used his HIV status as a reason to turn him away. But eventually, he found a place at the Sneha Care Home. It's part of a non-government organization that provides care and opportunities for young people with HIV.
Sneha means... the meaning of Sneha is love. Not only the word and the meaning they do, but they start doing in that ways. Even then 12 o'clock night, 1 o'clock morning, anytime we are in problem, they are there. Anytime, any problems means they also follow the word and the meaning of our school.
Today, Babu is going to school and has access to antiretroviral therapy. He takes 2 tablets a day. He says they're about half the size of his little finger. But he also says that medicine is really only one component of care.
Medicine alone will not be helpful for us. That is the truth. If we take a tablet for HIV now, my viral load, or it will be controlling. It will be fighting and it will be controlled. But the same way, the child's thinking also is important. He also thinks, oh, I have HIV, I'm taking this. Why should he have that? If he does not have, then he will be more happy, much more happier. And he say, also, if he does not have any family contact, he says, oh, I'm the orphan, I don't have anyone, so I'm so sad. If I hold my pain in my heart, it grows and grows and painful. Even though we take tablet, it doesn't help. Tablet will be supporting the viral load, but who will support our emotional load? Or the mind, or the heart, the painful, the feelings of ours, who can we share? That also is required.
The other side of his treatment, that emotional support, it's something he found by confiding in his friends, especially those friends at the Sneha care home who had similar stories.
Later, my friends started grabbing me, and I also grabbed themselves, and I started sharing my life to them and their lives to me. And some pain in my heart just went out. Some of the friends had the same feelings, so I never thought that they had the same. So then we were sitting in a groups, in rooms, without anyone knowing, and we were sharing. So that way we were becoming more happier, more closer. And also we had a session where all shared their life stories. They were so happy to share their life stories, and without any problem, they started sharing. And later, I thought, Mommy, it's good that I got HIV. Because if I could not get HIV, I could not do this big. I could not attend, means I could not join my snake room where I could get all the opportunity. I could not meet so many friends. I could just be in the local class, schools. And I could not come this big conference, attending, speaking.
Is there anything else that you want to add? Anything that you feel really strongly about that you want to share?
I want to share only one thing, means what I shared in the conference also. Like me, children, I know there are also in Australia, right? Some. Also in Africa, there are so many. And all around the world, in India, there are so many. But I want them to be like me. But to be like me, they also should come to Snake Room. They cannot. So as they are there, let them not think that they have HIV. I want them to start sharing their lives, their pains to each other or their friends or their father, mother, anyone who they have love or trust. So this way they do, they'll become more happier and happier. And be happy. Don't think that you have HIV. Think that it doesn't have. Be that you're a negative, not a positive. But still, you have to build your happiness and your tabletness. Thank you.
From the AIDS 2014 conference, I'm Kyle Evans for Joy 94.9.
Hide and seek.
Dean Beck with you on Hide and Seek. Hope you've enjoyed our little look back at AIDS 2014, the world's largest scientific and medical conference that was right here in Melbourne just 12 months ago. Let's, as we leave you tonight, look at the legacy of AIDS 2014.
I think we have with us now the weapons to end this HIV in terms of the knowledge, the experience that we've gained over time. I think we have it all, and you can see that it's a lot of years down the line, but you can still see the determination of everybody here, of the leaders, of the, you know, of the HIV conference, being very determined more than ever to end HIV. So that's my take-home point for me.
We're arriving at consensus, I think, in a different way, and that's, I think, probably because people realise that there's, you know, a lot more that unites us than divides us. So I think that's what it's all about from my point of view.
I think the legacy of 2014 will be new partnerships internationally, community development through new approaches of engaging the community through online communications.
I think more community and scientist engagement will speed up the process, and I hope to see more of that in the conferences to come. I think that's the legacy.
So one of the amazing things, particularly from the community of sex workers that's happening right now, is a call for decriminalisation, not only of HIV, but of also of sex work. And this really affects us here in Melbourne, because HIV positive sex workers are still criminalised, and we've heard the health minister announce that there are no sort of plans to change that. But it's forums like these that bring sort of community members and leaders together to apply the change that would help us have a more equitable HIV response in the future.
So I think Melbourne has really given us, you know, the plan for the future. It's time now. Everybody's involved, everybody's included, and we leave here knowing there can be no one left out, no one invisible, and no more discrimination.
We have become a global but tight-knit community, and it is within this community, all of us here, that we share our hopes and fears, our triumphs and disappointments. And the people we have lost last Thursday contributed to those triumphs and thus fueled hope, maybe the most precious thing we have. And for that, we can't thank them enough.
Let's show the world that neither brutality no threat can stop us. Let's join our force to build a better future for all.
I'm asking all young people living with HIV and those who care about us to join hand in hand and work together to make a better world.
Brave reformers continue to stand up for the essential idea of equality. They continue to suffer brutality as a result, but their suffering in our context is our demand for action.
If every person here tonight and everyone working to end the epidemic acts with the same sense of urgency to fight for those left behind, we will scale this mountain.
The whole scenario with regard to HIV has changed completely in the 30 years we've talked about. It is staggeringly brilliant what this constituency has achieved.
The search for a vaccine and cure must continue. And as with our previous successes, we must invest, collaborate, innovate, and continue to partner with all communities.
The vision is about recognizing the greater and central engagement of positive people in the response.
We need more initiative from our world leaders. We need everyone to keep fighting until this is actually over. And until then, we're going to make noise in the streets. I ask you to join me in this chant. Act up, fight back, fight AIDS.
This is called a conference, but I think we all know it's really a movement. It's a call to constant action to protect the lives and secure the basic human dignity all people deserve.
Of all the international AIDS conferences I've been at, this one has been, as a community in Melbourne, more welcoming than any other city.
No discrimination, no criminalization, removal of stigma, and making sure that all people are included. And that's the message, and it's been loud and clear here.
LGBT, our community, everyone should be a part of the process, and that way we'll really end AIDS the way we want to.
You can subscribe to Hide and Seek's podcast for free. Visit joy.org.au/hideandseek for more information. Suggest a topic, a guest, or provide feedback. Email hideandseek@joy.org.au. Hide and Seek is presented by Andrew the Apprentice, James Findlay and Avi Miller. Post-production by David Cheshire.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek. Hide and Seek.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.